You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci from the Dog Bowl in Berea. And ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring together the round table served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Rosewood is a casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that brought you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico Steakhouse. And I love that place. The sushi shots are amazing. Homemade soups, burgers, steaks, seafood. There's something on the menu for everyone. They do have a great au jus, no doubt about that. Go out there, check it out. You're going to love it. You will be blown away. And gentlemen, we are joined now by Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network and Tom Withers from the AP as we've assembled the round table here. This was a tough one. This was a very tough one. Historically tough, I would say, in the way that it ended in the final minutes of that game. But I do come away with it feeling that, again, this is a Browns team going in the right direction. At least this week, they went toe-to-toe with one of the best teams in the National Football League.
Well, I think it showed that when you play a clean game, no turnovers, you're going to be in the game. And that's one of the things that they cleaned up yesterday. But it also showed that since I'm no longer a member of the Browns organization, I can say it, when you get jobbed by the officials, you're going to get jobbed by the officials. And there was
jobs.
A lot of calls that were, you know, questionable. We actually had one you're talking about where Greg Little, you know, actually fumbled a ball, and so we got a break there. But by the same token, I'm not sure what the rules are, because that hit in the end zone, you're taught to try to knock the ball loose. And it wasn't a helmet-to-helmet hit. It was a shoulder and the chest. The pass interference call was so tacky. I mean, they never called that. There's just a lot of questionable calls within the game. But with that said, they played competitive. They learned a lesson, the master beat them, and Brady is the master.
That's why we love Deacon. He comes right out. We got jobbed, right?
Jobbed.
There were so many positives that came out of the game that unfortunately get overshadowed. And like Doug said, when you give Brady a chance to, and an extra chance and then another one and the referees aren't helping you, you know, that's going to happen. But, you know, the way Jason Campbell played yesterday, and I'll be honest, I thought the Browns would go in yesterday and play well. I had him losing 28-24. I thought they might take the lead in the fourth quarter, but I was afraid that Tom Brady would get him. I didn't know that would be the way it would happen. But, yeah, so many good things to talk about, whether it's Campbell or Gordon. You know, unfortunately, the alarming point of it is, once again, this defense can't get the job done
at the end
when it needed to.
And you're right about that, and I definitely don't want to dismiss that. However, I thought the key to this game was how well that defense basically played the whole way. Why we were able to see a game that did come down to, sadly, the way it ended, was the defense that kept the Browns not only in it, but they were out-coaching Bill Belichick and his staff throughout, Doug, and they left him very little to work with. I thought it was a tremendous scheme, and the best part was, even in the second half when the, quote, adjustments were being made by the Patriots, the Browns were also adjusting.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you saw they were well prepared for it. Brady tried to throw a bubble screen. Kruger, instead of running right at Brady where he would have the angle wouldn't have got him in the lane, he went straight up the field, stuck his hand out where Brady had no passing lane to throw the bubble screen. Yeah, they were very well coached and very well prepared yesterday, and the effort was a maximum effort.
I've seen Tom Brady do what he did late in that game, but I've rarely seen Tom Brady sit on the sideline with his head in his hands, absolutely frazzled. And this defense had him on his heels early. He couldn't get any rhythm going. I thought T.J. Ward did a great job on Gronkowski yesterday. You know, I'm sure we'll talk about that hit and, you know, the ramifications of all that. But I thought the defense played pretty well up until that fourth quarter. And as Doug said, there was some real nice play up front by a lot of guys.
And I think they even played well until that final minute, really. You know, obviously, you're not worried about on the last drive when they made it 26-21. You're just trying to say, all right, keep it going, keep the clock moving. You're not expecting, you know, you got to obviously hope you get the onside kick. The one question I have on the final drive that I keep coming back to and want to get your take on it is, why in that situation is Leon McFadden one-on-one with anybody? Why are we not playing three safeties? Keep a safety up over the top of that. Why give a one-on-one type of a pass option? Because that's what beat the New Orleans Saints. They did the same thing against Tom Brady earlier in the season.
I don't know what the defense was called, but obviously, you know, that's one they dialed up. And, you can look at it. Brady, you know, knew where the matches were. You know,
for sure.
He went after the rookie on that one. There was one earlier in the game where the wheel route by the running back up the sideline, Vereen.
Vereen.
He saw the linebacker in coverage. I mean,
they run that
that's why
time.
Brady's
yep.
Brady. He
yep.
Yes.
He can decipher it at the line of scrimmage, and he'll get the matchup that fits him. And then they ran those seam routes, and, you know, the one Gronkowski got hurt on. You know, you can say what you want. That's just a good, clean hit by T.J. Ward. You know, you got a guy that's 260 pounds. You know, if you go in any other way, you're the guy that's going to turn into roadkill.
Right.
You're the best way to knock him down is go low. And, I mean, because upstairs, you're going to lose the battle.
And they legislate you to go low now.
Exactly right.
Nationally, so that was, and you said it, Nathan, the legislating of the rules, how defenders are now forced to play this game. So that became a national conversation this morning about, okay, here you this is what you've asked for, the NFL. This is the unintended consequence. Guys are getting their knees taken out. It happened to Kellen Clemens earlier in the season for the Jets, right? And now for the Dolphins, and now it's happened here.
But take it beyond that. You know, the NFL has always legislated rules to make it a more offensive game. Okay, so what'd you have yesterday with, you know, guys not being able to hit like they used to? You had more touchdowns in the history of the NFL on one Sunday.
Right, right. So, TJ it was not a dirty play. TJ has as much appreciation, I think, for guys staying healthy, a guy who's had both of his last two seasons shortened by injuries.
Well, ironically, TJ's been one of the guys talking about this for the last 2 years. Where am I supposed to hit a guy? If I can't go up high on him, I have no choice but to bring him down. And Doug's exactly right. That's the only way you're going to bring Gronkowski down there, or he's going to freight train you and score a touchdown.
So the onside kick. Now, Coach was up here earlier, and his explanation, it does wash to the extent that he said we were wide because they line up wide, and that's what they had studied. So they were sort of mirroring that, but knowing, and this is where I think the problem maybe comes up, not maybe definitely comes up, is that after the kick is made, where in this case it was basically Gronkowski kicking to himself, is that you've got to adjust and flow to the middle of the area, and how fast you get there, I guess, is your ability to recover or not.
Well, I think the thing that you'd like to see is obviously when a kicker is going to, as they call it, a bunt kick, somebody take out the kicker because he's trying to kick to himself. So, you know, one of those guys up front has to go after the kicker. I don't know if that was the sign. But, you know, the other problem there is, you know, we've turned over the special teams with, you know, the bottom of the roster a lot. And I'm not sure of how much experience on onside kicks because you can't practice that in practice. I mean, nobody's going to be foolish enough. We saw Kellen Winslow get, you know, wiped out on an onside kick down in Dallas his rookie year. So, you know, those are the things that, you know, you practice, but you practice at half speed.
The thing that I had a problem with on that formation when they first came out, I was like, oh my God, they're leaving the middle of the field wide open. And that bunt kick you see a lot these days. So I was thinking they at least should have one guy straight up the middle to guard against that rather than sliding guys over as the ball is kicked. And I thought, now Coach told me today that he felt like Whitaker did the proper thing on that and attacked the ball. I didn't see it that way. I thought he should have charged that thing like a third baseman and smothered it.
I'm with you on that. I want to edit myself just for 1 second here. The tight end for the Dolphins, Dustin Keller. I'm giving him a quarterback's name.
And
I got him hurt too. So let's just for those who thought I was insane, which they probably still do. Go ahead.
That's okay. Buddy. That's okay. Paul Kruger was the guy that you said last week, Vic, was, you know, maybe your biggest disappointment on the defensive side of the ball. I thought he played his best game in this one. 2 sacks, got to the quarterback, had a hit, 4 hurries. What was different, in your guys' opinion, of Paul Kruger in this game against New England?
Well, I think it was the defense in general. I think they rushed 5 guys more where they got one-on-one battles as opposed to, you know, having a situation where they got a spare lineman looking for anybody coming free.
Yeah, I thought he played a real nice game, Kruger. I thought he flashed from the beginning of the game, and as Doug pointed out, he stayed at home on a couple of those swing-out passes, was active with his hands. Nice job by 99.
Yeah, and then Barkevious Mingo for his part. Yeah, he got smoked on the wheel route, and you got
to
improve
right back,
on
though,
that.
Nice play,
but he bounced back. He was involved with pressure. Obviously, got the sack. I mean, overall, I thought the front seven had probably its best game too, or one of its better games in a year when it's had some very, very good performances. So the scheming you mentioned, Doug, is part of it. But I just thought individually, guys have put it on themselves. I think Paul Kruger, who was also kind of a voice of whatever reason after the game, because he was trying to say, look, we're good. We're going to get better. It takes a little time. And that didn't sound like a guy who was trying to buy time for himself as a highly paid free agent. It sounded to me like a guy genuinely generally buying into the whole concept of what he's a part of.
Well, I think they were aware of it. I think last week they some of the outside linebackers were all talked to. You know, hey, we need more production from you. And, well, they got more production from him yesterday.
Four sacks from the group.
And I did like today that there was not, you know, Chud did not play the blame game. You know, he went right to, hey, you know, we had our opportunities. We
recover
needed to
the
make
onside
plays.
Kick and you
yeah.
win.
Yeah. Game over, right? Yeah. So I like the idea that, and he reinforced that, you know, experience is the best teacher, and that's what's going to happen with a young team. There's going to be tough lessons.
I was very struck watching this game by one thing, and that was, and we talked a little bit about it a second ago, Shane Vereen is part of the evolution of the National Football League. That running back that can go out there and catch it, you can use him as a receiver to kind of replicate a running game. When you put a drop of zone back, he can kill you after the catch. We've seen it with him. You see these dual threat backs, Jamal Charles, Danny Woodhead down in San Diego, having a phenomenal year with 8 touchdowns. This is part of the modern passing attack, and I know it's something Norv Turner has always used. Not having Deion Lewis, I think you're seeing it. In a game like this, you see what an impact that had on this Browns offense.
Well, you throw in Darren Sproles. I mean, you know,
exactly.
That guy that can catch the ball, because it is a passing league. I mean, that's why, you know, on draft day, you know, we're going to see who they drafted at the quarterback position. So, yeah, if you're going to throw it, you got to have the running back that can, you know, do everything. But you also want the one that can pick up the blitz, too.
That's key.
Guys, thank you. The Roundtable, Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank, Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Great stuff as always. The Roundtable served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. Remember, Rosewood, it's the casual neighborhood joint from the same local team, bringing you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico's Steakhouse. Great, great service, great, great food. It's an everyday kind of place, incredible quality, homemade soups, burgers, steaks, seafood, anything really you want, whatever your taste palate is calling for. There's something on the menu for everyone. Please, please check it out. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. We've got much more coming up in hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Want to hear from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. We're going to go inside the locker room. Chris Obanaya joining Jameer Howerton. You're also going to hear from Gerard Cherry. So much ahead. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR.